I wonder if we could just briefly look at Luke 24. Verse 27. Luke 24, verse 27. And having begun from Moses and from all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Verse 29, they constrained him, saying, "Stay with us, for it is too at evening, and the day is declining." Verse 31, their eyes were opened. Verse 32, was not our heart burning in us as he spoke to us on the way, and as he opened the scriptures to us? Rising up the same hour, they returned to Jerusalem. Verse 35, and they related what had happened on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of bread. Just a brief impression as we reflect on the impressions that the Spirit of God has given to our hearts today relative to the red heifer. The whole matter of the divine provision that is made available to us to restore us, to maintain us in conditions of suitability to Christ, to himself, so that we go on in the scene impressed with carrying out in faithfulness what we've been called to. We had the tent. We had the dead person, the dead body. We had the open vessels that could be easily contaminated. The bone, a dead person, the grave. We had the whole matter of being unclean for the period of time. And some of us might say, well, I haven't touched a dead body. I haven't touched a bone. I haven't been directly defiled in those circumstances, but nevertheless, I'm experiencing some measure of distance. I am not experiencing the divine power that I should be enjoying, the fellowship and the blessed delight of walking in faithfulness to the one who has called me. And I thought about these two men on the road to Emmaus. No specific sin, no direct touching of a dead body. It's just despondency. Their hopes had been shattered. The one who was to have been the hope of Israel has been removed off of the scene, and there is no further hope. I don't know what might be your despondency. I know what mine may be. But nevertheless, the challenge is that the very same method of recovery in Numbers 19, the person of the Christ, the death of Christ, the person of the Christ is the same method of recovery for these two men on the road to Emmaus. These two men who had become lost, or rather the husband and wife rather, that had become lost in regard to this that had transpired over the weekend. It had been a very discouraging experience. All hope had been gone. The possibility of what was supposed to have been here for God in Christ is lost. And now, why even bother to go on? Let's return to Emmaus and just take up business as is. But wonderfully, we know the story. He draws nigh, he withholds himself, and there is a long conversation that transpires. A conversation by the Lord with a view to attaching their hearts back to himself. That's what we just had in Peter's heart, being fully attached. And so it says, as he converses with them, it says, he opens to them the scriptures. Beginning from Moses and all the prophets, he interprets to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Beloved, what do you think is going to recover us from the dead body of a man or a bone, or open vessels that can easily be contaminated, or for that matter, the sense of indifference and complacency? What is going to do the recovery? None other than the open scriptures concerning himself. We've had him before us today. God has none other. No other method, no other way of attracting and attaching our hearts than to Christ, his delight. The one of whom we've been speaking in the sufferings as the impeccable one, holy, spotless, the undefiled one, the one who knew no sin, who did no sin, in whom there was no guile at all. That's the one who's opened up to us in the scriptures. He interprets to them. He's the great interpreter. Can you imagine what it must have been to sit under the influence of his interpreting the scriptures? What silence must have filled their own souls? What a sense of holy hush as they heard his voice speaking from Moses. From where? All the way back in the Old Testament scriptures. And of the prophets, as he spoke gingerly, tenderly, affectionately. That's how he wants to woo our hearts. He's coming in the soft, still voice. You know, the earthquake in Elijah's day, the whirlwind, in that sense, the boisterous character of things, yet there was no voice heard until it was the still, small voice. And I trust that we have had a chance today to hear afresh the still small voice. He interprets to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. We've been occupied with that. And so the impress that had been now made upon their hearts caused them to say, don't go any further. They constrained him. Please don't go any further. Come in with us. Is that not the response that he's expecting of us? That we would constrain him? We've been affected by the preciousness of what the Spirit of God has given us. The water of separation, of purification. What is available? Yes, Lord, I'm going to use that water of purification. Trust that there will be those persons who are clean men, who will be like the clean man and ready to apply the water of purification for us. But nevertheless, he himself is that clean man of whom we've just spoken. He wants to bring us into the realm. And so they constrain him. We want to hear more. He comes in and he takes up the housemaster's position. Anyone coming into my house at the table, I'm not going to allow them to give thanks for the meal. I'm going to exercise my headship in my household. But here is the one who is the house master. He takes up the rightful place and he exercises thanksgiving, and lo and behold, their eyes are opened up. May it be that our eyes today have been opened up to the preciousness of the truths concerning this wonderful example in Numbers 19 of the red heifer, a unique place in the wilderness, the closing history, and yet it comes in, doesn't come in Leviticus, it comes in as a way of adjusting things, removing defilement, so that there is the readiness to enter upon the land and take possession of what there is for them. We are ready, we are perched and ready to enter the heavenly atmosphere, the coming of the Lord. He wants us to be in conditions of such that adjustments are made, defilements removed, so that we can even here and now have part with him where he is in the Father's house. May our hearts then be encouraged, beloved, as he has opened up to us the scriptures today, and that there might be a sense of contentment and delight to rejoice in the fact that our hearts were burning. A flame that is so ignited that it's carried into our daily movements as we wait for his return, for his name's sake.
Amen. Amen. Maybe just a few more words from the same chapter. Trust that you're still there at Luke 24. And we'll just maybe read a few more verses from the very chapter that we had a word of exhortation. Verse 36, these two that were going to Emmaus couldn't help but to go back and tell the good news since the scripture were open to them. Verse 36, and as they were saying these things, he himself, blessed be his name, the Lord Jesus, stood in their midst and says to them, peace be unto you. But they being confounded and being frightened, supposed that they beheld a spirit. And he said to them, why are ye troubled? And why are thoughts arising in your head, in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet. Verse 44. And he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was yet with you, that all that is written concerning me in the law of Moses and prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their understanding to understand the scriptures. Verse 15, and he led them out as far as Bethany, and having lifted up his hands, he blessed them. And it came to pass, as he was blessing them, he was separated from them and was carried up into heaven. And they, having done him homage, returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Such a wonderful scene, dear brethren, beloved saints of God. This is the very last few moments before the Lord Jesus was taken up to heaven. They must be very thrilled. They were through all the crucifixion, all the agony, seeing their Lord being crucified. No wonder why these two disciples were going back as well as the others. They were scattered. But oh, so wonderful, the Lord Jesus, who knows what is the real value of the water of purification, spend the whole day in the book of Numbers, chapter 19. And as the great high priest, he's going one by one to bring them back. He promised not a single one will be lost. Those that lost their vision about being in the work of the Lord brought them back. He appeared to Simon Peter. We heard at the last study. But here we heard about the Lord opening the scriptures to them. So wonderful to have the scripture open to us. But I would like to suggest that we need one more opening. We need our understanding to be open, that the scriptures that are opened would meet with our open minds and hearts, that the word of Christ will be there dwelling richly. And he started telling them about himself. Remember the two disciples that were going to Emmaus? The Lord started from Moses and the prophets. But when he was there, he started from Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. And beloved brethren, I would like to suggest that the Psalms there were added because the affections of the disciples together is a wonderful representation of the assembly of God. Where it's not just Moses, where the law is emphasized and fulfilled in the Lord Jesus. Not just the prophets, where prophecies were prophesied and fulfilled by the Lord Jesus. But the Psalms there are presented there because it's the affections of God. The affections of the Lord Jesus. And I'm asking myself and my brethren, the affections of the Lord Jesus, how much fellowship do we have with the Lord Jesus? And let me ask you this, and ask myself. As much as we enter into the affections of the Lord Jesus, then we will understand the scriptures, the Psalms concerning him. We are discussing some of the Messianic Psalms. We can understand the cry in Psalm 22. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken? As Brother Chuck suggested earlier, we were only allowed to hear the voice. But as much as we have fellowship with the Lord Jesus, we are invited to enter into the affections. Knowing not just about him in Moses or by Moses, not just knowing by him about with the prophets, but also going through his affection, his heart, his heart feelings through the Psalms. And after they realized that, that's the Lord. They saw his hands, they heard, the Lord opened their understanding, he takes them out to Bethany. As far as Bethany, scripture says. And beloved, we have one more thing that is opened. He opened his hands. And as he is opening his hands to bless them, thank you. He is blessing them and he is giving us a wonderful picture of what Moses had done in that battle with Amalek. Moses would lift his hand, and when his hand is up, the battle is won by the people of God. But Moses is just a man. His hand would get tired and would go down. So the provision was given. Aaron and Hur went on both sides to support the hand of Moses. Oh, beloved saints of God, the Lord Jesus' hand are steady lifted up for you and for me. Praise God. This is the open hand that is for your account and for my account. Yes, the wilderness is difficult. Yes, there's so many challenges in this wilderness. But the steady hand of the Lord Jesus that is open is to your account and to my account. He blessed them. And beloved saints, as he is doing this, he was taken up. That was the last scene the disciples had seen the Lord Jesus. They returned back to Jerusalem, and the scripture says, with great joy. Great joy is our portion when we behold those steady hands of the Lord Jesus lifted up for us. Yes, he opened the scripture before us. Yes, he is delighted to open our understanding, to understand the scripture, but he is also, his hands are open for us. And there on those open hands, steady open hands, we see the nail marks. And they will be there forever. He's coming back again. How faithful are we? May the Lord increase our faithfulness.
Amen. Amen.